WCHD 3 Detroit, KMPS HD 3 Seattle, WBMX HD 3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with channeler David Watson, Tracy McBurney's incredible energy consciousness, Mikael Mir's financial consciousness, and nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with quantum physics and consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Good afternoon. This is Lori Houston, and today we should be joined with Thomas Campbell. I'm sure he's going to be joining us any second now. If not, we will be talking about the same topic, which is about change and new beginnings, the things that we are trying to create and whether we're creating them through fear or love. And that's what we're discussing today. But Thomas is our nuclear physicist. He is here and is a wonderful, just a wonderful guest to have because he approaches all of this consciousness from a very different place. And the place that he comes from is very much about where we all come from is very much a place of love. And so we allow that to be the way we join together. And I think it's a really interesting way that we, you know, come together. And he talks about lowering entropy and moving towards love just from a very science-based place. And he can do that because that's his experience, that's where he's from. But he's also done all the spiritual work as well. So even though we come from it from different angles, we are mostly on the same wavelength and from the same place. So that's why I always love having Tom here. He's still not with us yet. But every last Friday of the month, we have Tom. So I'm sure he will join us momentarily. Not quite sure what happened, but I'm sure he's with us somewhere. But I guess what I wanted to talk with him about is, you know, we're in this place, especially at the beginning of the month, where it very much felt like spring and everything was, you know, everything's budding and everything's, you know, everything was warm and spring-like, and we've kind of moved into a colder period. I don't know if it's everywhere, but certainly it is in the Toronto district, and I know in the Detroit district as well that it's been, you know, we have very similar weather. So we've been getting kind of cold, so it's been interesting how that's been working. And, he's trying to get into us now, so Cassandra, if you could try and let him know you're still calling, maybe disconnect that one and recall because he's calling me. All right, so he will be with us very momentarily. Okay, welcome back. Sorry about that. But we do have Thomas Campbell with us now, so we can start the show proper. Hi, Tom.
Hello. Sorry for the little technical difficulties there, but I was here all right, and I just couldn't get it to answer, and I couldn't get on, and I couldn't get anybody else to pick up, so we're just having a little technical problems, but looks like we got it fixed.
You got it fixed. All right. So what I wanted to talk about is it's kind of what my focus has been for this month is, Mercury retrograde at its finest, what we just had. But because it's been so nice, everybody sort of jumped spring a little bit early. And so everybody's been focusing on, you know, wanting to create change or wanting to have new beginnings. And I think what I've been really trying to look at with people is, you know, most of the times that we're wanting new beginnings and wanting change is because we're doing it from a place of fear. And so I'm trying to bring that awareness to people and maybe even, you know, how do we do it from a place of love without it being from a place of fear? And, you know, because I do believe that we can create our own realities. I also believe that if we're in alignment with our soul and what we're wanting, that it can happen a lot better. If we're doing it from a place of love, then you know, we're moving positively towards and aligning positively towards what we're wanting. But if we're doing it from a place of fear, it means all the other things that are interfering with why we're not getting will have to come up first.
Yes, I agree with that. That's a, you know, that's not only a big problem, but that's kind of the major problem with people all over. It's endemic, if we can say. Yeah. It's so common that it's normal. You know, if you're not like that, you know, you're weird. It's such a common thing that people are like that. I can say a couple of things about how do you transfer from the fear-based reality to a love-based reality.
Okay.
We have fears that we don't know we have. We have lots and lots of fears that we're not really aware of. And trying to find those fears is sometimes real tricky and real hard to actually pinpoint them. What is it I'm afraid of? But, you know, the fear creates other things. And one of the things the fear creates is ego. Another thing it creates is expectations. It creates all the I wants, I needs that you feel. So if the description of your issue or problem or difficulty you're having in life starts with a capital I, then it's probably coming from ego. Okay, it's about you. So I found that it's a lot easier for people to discover their, you know, how they're coming from ego. In other words, that's a little more transparent and easier for them to see than how they're coming from fear. And once you then discover what the ego is, then to find the fear that's driving that is a simpler thing. So that would be one way to go about it. So how do you find the ego? Well, you look at all the little things you do in a day, all the ways you interact, all the little choices you make, and the way you interact with people, and see what are the issues, what are the problems, and you will find, and how are you relating, and you will usually find that it's about you not getting it the way you want it, that life isn't the way you'd like to have it, that your boss isn't doing the things you want your boss to do. Your husband, your wife, your children aren't acting and doing and being the way you want them to be. Well, all of this is ego. It's all about you. It's not about them. It's how you want them to be and how they have to be in order to make you feel, you know, good. So once you realize that, then you can say, well, what's the fear behind that? Well, the fear is that the boss won't appreciate you, that the children will, you know, get in trouble, or maybe they won't appreciate you either, or that the husband's losing interest in you, or, you know, all these fears then that you have, and you realize that's the key. And from there, the only antidote to fear is courage. I know that's a tough thing to say. There's no magic way of getting over fears. You just have to have two things, the resolve to get over them, and the courage to do it. And one of the ways that you can express that courage to do it, if you're struggling and you can't just put the fear away, it's there, the next thing to do is to say, well, okay, fear, what's the very worst thing that could happen? What if my fears, you know, were all came true the way I fear that they might, what's the worst thing that can happen? Then imagine the worst. Accept it and say, okay, if that happens, I'll deal with it. I'll live through it. It'll be okay. I accept that fear, and it'll be just however it is, and somehow we'll get through that. Then, once you've accepted it, then it's gone because it no longer has the power to frighten you. It's you've already accepted the worst. So those are a couple of ways to approach that problem. But fear is the number one enemy. Fear is the opposite of love. It's not love hate as a set of opposites, but it's love fear is a set of opposites. The things that you fear, the actual intent, the feelings, the energy you put into that fear, the emotional energy that you put into that fear actually contributes to making the fear come true. And that's something that everyone should realize. We modify our reality with our intent. We modify what's likely to happen in the future with the intent that we have in the present. So if your intent is fearful, then that fear energy, if you like, that's emanating from you will modify the probabilities of the future to make that fear come true, at least to raise the probability of it coming true. So you are your own worst enemy. Not only does this fear make you miserable, but you're the one that's creating, you know, these problems for yourself. You're setting them up. For instance, if you are, let's say you're afraid that people don't like you, nobody likes you, that you're unlikable. Well, how does that make people act? Well, one personality type acts like a bully, right? People don't like you, then you tend to want to push them around or make yourself big and fearsome or be in charge or, you know, tell people what to do, be bossy, that kind of thing, because that makes you feel better about yourself and people don't like you. So what happens? You make yourself unlikable because you're afraid that people don't like you. Or the opposite kind of personality shrinks and becomes the shrinking violet that always retreats to a little corner where nobody else is. Well, that tends to make people not want to come over and talk to you. It looks like you're trying to escape. So you create the problem, and then you're in that little corner by yourself, and you say, why doesn't anybody like me or want to come talk to me? You know, well, it's because you're emanating these vibes that says, you know, leave me alone. And it's part of a strategy that we tend to play, and you might recognize the strategy in the things that you do and the things in the way that people apply themselves to these fears. And the strategy is, if I don't play, I can't lose.
Right.
You see, if I don't play, I can't lose. So they don't want to invest time in intimacy, because if they do and it fails, oh, they couldn't stand that. That would be a rejection. That would be a terrible thing. That would crush them. So they make sure that they don't get crushed by never putting themselves into that kind of a situation. You see, that's the, I won't, you know, if I don't play, I can't lose. So they don't want to lose, so they don't play. So we end up kind of sitting on the sidelines of life, worrying and feeling bad about it, because our life isn't as much fun or as rich or as full of joy and love as we want it to be. And that causes us to shrink away, which causes us to feel even more that way, which causes us to shrink away more. You see, and we get into this kind of vicious descending spiral, and that's the way most people live their whole lives, is at the bottom of that spiral, where basically they have up their defenses, their walls, their strategies, and they're just getting by. They're getting through. They're making it through, and they're doing it with the minimum amount of pain is the way they see it. But that's not what they're doing at all. They're causing that pain. Mm-hmm. If they could get rid of the fear, the ego, the expectations, the I want, I need, and just be in the moment, interact openly, they would find that you don't have to control things in order for things to go your way. That if you let go of control and just be, magic happens. Everything kind of goes your way. Why? Because your way is not any longer so specific. Oh, I'm only going to like it if it's like this and this and this. You'll like it however it is, because it just is. And you just love people and things happen. You know, it becomes a wonderful life all by itself. You don't have to live it out of your intellect. You don't have to decide what's the best strategy. If I do this, then what will they do next? How do I act that makes my boss like me? How do I act that, you know, does this and that? Or what do I need to do to those people? How do I bully them such that they will do this and that? That's trying to manipulate your life out of your intellect. Let the intellect go. Live right out of your being. Just be who you are. Accept it however it comes and figure that that's what it's all about. Things happen. We deal with them. You know, that's the way it works. So if you go through life like that, not worrying about what happens, knowing that there's a lesson in it, and you'll deal with it, and you'll grow from it. That's really the strategy. But you're right. People tend to go through their whole life fearful of all sorts of things, not being lovable, not being competent, not being good enough, you know, not being smart enough, not being good-looking enough, you know, whatever. And their whole life is a series of strategies for getting by. And that's such a shame, because when you live your life trying to get by, you make sure that, you know, you're creating that situation where that's all you'll ever do is try to get by and minimize your pain. And that's a very sad way to live your life. If you let all that go, then you find that not only does joy and peace and that kind of stuff come to your life, but all the rest of your life works better too. Even the job gets better. Your opportunities get better. The good stuff starts to flow because you're no longer blocking it with all those fear.
Okay. So intense. We will move and talk about that even more when we get back from our first break, but we're going to go to break. If you have questions for Tom,
One question in a whole period here. Oh, wow.
You may give us a call, not for readings, though. Just questions on, you know, how you can make a difference or how you can move into a place of love. You can give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Thomas Campbell and Lori Houston on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
Thursday is a power-packed day here on The Sky. Join us at noon for the I'm Thankful Network. At 1 p.m., it's the Dr. Pat Show. At 4 p.m., Colette Baron-Reed takes the stage for the Colette Baron-Reed Show. The Colette Baron-Reed Show, where intuition, practical spirituality, great advice, a little woo-woo fun, and fabulosity meet. Colette Baron-Reed is an internationally renowned intuitive counselor, educator, and best-selling author who helps others recognize and connect with their own intuition, potential, and purpose. Powerful motivational speaker, charismatic broadcast personality, and acclaimed performer, storyteller, and recording artist, Colette uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower her clients to live a life that is awake and authentic, and to create a reality that is spiritual, deliberate, and meaningful. Call in early. The lines are hot. 248-545-7685. Instant feedback at newskyradio.com. New Sky Radio. newskyradio.com. New horizons, no boundaries. Powered by CBS, Yahoo, and radio.com. Take CBS Radio The Sky with you wherever you go. Be sure to download the radio.com app today from your mobile marketplace. And when you really want to know more, 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 be sure to visit newskyradio.com. Get in deep with exclusive articles and Sky News. Get your weekly horoscope and the inside scoop on host events. Radio.com and newskyradio.com. Stay connected.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Lori Houston and Thomas Campbell. Thomas is our nuclear physicist. He brings the science into my program, which I always appreciate and find very fascinating, that how we could do that and how we could always come to the same place. But, you know, he brings with him not just the science background, but the experience. And, of course, he's done all of the spiritual stuff as well. He's just approached it all from a different place. He's approached it from a very scientific, basic place versus, you know, coming from an intuitive and touchy-feely. He's experienced it. So that's what I appreciate about Tom the most. So we've been talking about fear and how to maybe recognize it. So all the people out there, when you get to a place where you're wanting to create change or you're wanting to have a new beginning on something, so maybe the change has happened to you and you have to recreate something or you have to start to look at different things. So the question becomes, you know, where are you creating from? Are you doing it from that place of fear? Are you doing it from a place of love? And so Tom has given you some great ideas about looking at it, you know, from the I perspective. Now, ironically, of course, there's a lot of New Age people out there and there's a lot of spiritual people that, you know, say I am, is how we have to deal with, from everything. And I guess that's a wee bit different because the I am comes from a principle of I am being versus, you know, what am I wanting? But it still does start with I. And you know, and because of that, I think a lot of spiritual ego has been created. but let's not go there because that's a whole different topic. We may have to approach it a different time. I guess, you know, you say the antidote to fear is courage, and you were talking a lot about fear in, before the break. And I guess the idea then is to recognize each time, like how do you recognize each time when you're wanting to create change? Because that's a, it's an honest response. Sometimes change happens to us, and those people often feel like the victim. And I know you were saying, you know, see everything as, you know, things that just happen. They're just happenings. They're our experience. Now, how do you what's the word? Instead of, you know, how are you responding to it? Instead of reacting, how are you responding? Can you make choices around that? But, you know, if you want to make change and want to create something new, how do we move around that so that we're coming from this place of love and not fear?
Okay, well, first, you really have to honestly get to the point where you want to make change. You know, sometimes people would say, oh, I'd like to change. You know, I'd like to lose weight. I'd like to do this.
Sabotage.
I'd like my life to be, you know, more joyous and all these things. You know, my life sucks and, you know, everything is kind of negative and so on. But often they're just wallowing in that, and though they'll say that they want to change, they don't really make any serious effort to change. It's all kind of superficial. The idea of I want to change is just an intellectual idea. They haven't gotten it down to the point that at the being level, at the core of their being, they say, I need to change, you know, and it's a serious thing for them. So that's the first step. Just saying, I want to change, or, you know, throwing a penny in the wishing well and say, oh, I wish, you know, this and that, and I wish things would change, that's not going to do it. So the first thing is you have to really, really want to change enough to have the courage and to take the steps to do it. So number one, just talking about it isn't enough. You have to really want to do it. Now, change is scary. You know, people, like I say, they get themselves in a place where they feel like they're getting by the best they can. And if they bump out of that, they're kind of afraid maybe they won't get by as well. You know, they're in this habitual little rut that doesn't have but so much pain in it. I mean, it's not a lot of fun, but they're getting by, and they're afraid to step out of that. They're afraid of change. Change might change for the worse. How do they know? Where's the guarantee that the change won't be for the worse? And that keeps them from actually getting serious about change. So it takes courage not only to get rid of fear, but it takes courage to start with just to change and say, I will be different. And I don't know exactly how that will be, but I want to be different, and I'm committed to kind of following it wherever it goes. Let's get this process started and see what happens. There's no guarantees exactly what will happen when you start a process of change. Change has a way of taking its own path and its own route. And you have to be okay with that you just want to change. So that's step number one, is you really have to want to. Then you need to see everything in your life, particularly those things that suck, particularly those things that don't feel good or that you don't like. You need to see them all as opportunities. Everything is an opportunity. Everything that happens in your existence is an opportunity. If someone walks up to you and is rude to you, that's an opportunity not to respond with ego. That's an opportunity to approach this from a more productive direction. So in that case, if everything is an opportunity, then your life is full of opportunity, and all you have to do is grab that opportunity and do it. Do it better. Just a little bit better. You don't have to change. You see, we don't change in great leaps. It's not like, well, today I'm, you know, this way and tomorrow I'm going to be different, you know. That's setting yourself up for failure. What you need to do is take it one tiny step at a time. Right now I'm this way, And the next opportunity I get to, you know, somebody does something or I interact with something, I'm going to try not to interact with ego, not to interact with, you know, anger and shame and guilt and, you know, all the stuff that generally drives a lot of people's interactions. I'm just going to feel it, and I'm going to then act with love, with caring, even if I've been insulted. You know, I'm going to do it differently. I'm just going to be different. I'm going to be different in a positive way. So that's the idea. Everything's an opportunity. Take tiny little steps. If you do one thing just a slightly bit better, even if it wasn't a great success, all right, so you instead of getting angry immediately, you know, you got angry 5 minutes later. Well, that's a step. That's not exactly getting there yet, but it's a step, because the next time maybe it'll be 10 minutes later, and the next time maybe you won't get angry at all. So don't expect to, you know, for these things to happen quickly. You know, it's like diet. You know, you want to lose 50 pounds or something. You don't expect to wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to lose 50 pounds today. You know, it doesn't work like that. You're just setting yourself up for failure. You have to say, I have to change things. You know, I weigh too much. I need to change my lifestyle. I need to change the way I think. I need to change the way I approach life. I need to change, you know, the way I look at food, what food means to me. And you start at the root, at the basic, and look for all the opportunities. And why? Why do you do that? Why do you grab that sandwich at 11 o'clock at night? You know, why? What motivates you to do that? Well, you'll probably find it's not just hunger, you know, it's something else. And then you work on that something else. Name it, locate it, then get rid of it, let it go. And it is a struggle, and it does take time, but you need to start it. You know, even, you know, like they say, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. It's just lots of these little steps. So first, get committed. Two, see everything as an opportunity. And then three, just do it, little tiny bit at a time. And it doesn't matter exactly where it's going to take you. Let the end point of the journey take care of itself. You just focus on the process of the journey instead of setting up a goal that I'm going to be this way. And then what happens then if you set up goals is you start judging your, you know, how quickly you're getting to the goal. Well, it's been, you know, week already and I don't really feel any different. Therefore, I failed. Therefore, you know, the whole thing falls apart. Don't worry about the goal. Think of the process, the direction you want to move in. Work on it in tiny steps, little bit at a time, and then let it go wherever it goes. Follow it. Just keep putting that little bit of interest, that drive, that intent to do it. Let that guide you, and you'll get there. So that's the way the listeners, that's the way I would say to approach it. Don't set big goals for yourself and big grandiose things and, you know, oh, I'm not going to get angry anymore and so on. And then you get angry, and then you feel like you failed. Well, we don't want to feel like we failed. We want to feel like everything's an opportunity. Every opportunity is a lesson, something that we can learn from it, good, bad, or indifferent. We can learn and grow from all of them. And if we have that attitude, then nothing that happens to us is really all that bad. It's just it's an opportunity to expand, opportunity to grow.
Perfect.
Work on a tiny step at a time.
Perfect. We come back, we'll talk more about this, and I'm going to bring in the awareness and the commitment issue, because I think this is probably where a lot of us fall. But we're going to go to break. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. Thomas Campbell is with us every last Friday of the month, and he can be found on the internet. He has a wealth of information, especially on YouTube. You could probably sit there for hours listening and watching his YouTube videos. He has a lot of his material up there, a lot of different workshops that he's done. So Google his name, Tom Campbell or Thomas Campbell. And if you want to find his website, he's written a series of books called My Big Toe. And so his website is mybigtoe.com, but it has a hyphen between my and big. So my-big-toe.com. All right, you're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and Thomas Campbell. We will be right back on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, Enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life. So take the photographs and still frames in your mind. Hanging on a shelf in good health and good time. Tattoos and memories and dead skin on trial. For what it's worth, it was worth all the while. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. But in the end, that's right. I hope you had the time of your life. It's something unpredictable, but in the end, that's right. I hope you had the time of your life. But in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. You are listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Thomas Campbell and Lori Houston. We're talking about change. So we've been talking about fear, how to identify. And I guess that's really the big thing we have to be is much more aware and committed. So because I think self-sabotage comes in so often, and a lot of times it's because we're just there are too many facets of our being that are unaligned. But the commitment and the awareness, so every time, I guess it's like being aware every time we are in reaction mode, because that's usually a place of ego, and having the commitment to be aware, to allow us to identify those areas that are coming up for us that are triggering our fears. And I think that's such an important piece, but like the commitment that you talked about, because we sabotage ourselves all the time. Like we're always saying what we want and then our actions completely conflict with what we're saying we want. So you brought some like huge pieces to our understanding of, you know, change. Because you're right, when people, I mean, if change happens to us, which is different than us wanting to create the change. When change happens to us, we go straight into terror mode instead of, you know, sitting back and seeing it as an opportunity, as you said. We go completely into fear. And so if we're trying to choose change, it's really no different, because that fear, as you brought up, would still be there. But it's, I guess it's the commitment and the awareness. So how do we maintain our awareness? Because it's so easy to get stuck.
Okay, well, again, we start from really wanting to. And let me bring two concepts into the discussion. And one of them is you operate on two different levels, okay? And the level that most people operate on most of the time is what I'll call the intellectual level. In other words, they're thinking about it, okay? And they're also feeling about it. Your emotions are also there on that immediate intellectual level. So that's what you think about things. But there is another level, which I call the being level, and that's the level at which you just are. You're not thinking about it. You just are doing it. You're being it. Okay, so let's try to make a little something to make those easier. Let's say you're walking behind somebody. You notice a $20 bill falls out of their wallet and lands on the ground, and they keep right on walking. Well, if you react out of that, out of the intellectual level, you may think something like, oh, that person lost some money. The right thing to do would be to return it to them. I should pick them up and return it. But if I don't, they just keep on walking. You know, I could keep it or I could return it, but I should return it because that would be the right thing to do. And, oh, look, there's people over there, and they see me, and they would see that I picked it up and I didn't. See, that's doing it from the intellectual level. You're thinking about it, and then you're deciding what you should do and why you should do it. You're acting. You're not being. Okay, now you're an actor. You're on stage, and you're deciding with your intellect what you should do. From the being level, there's no thought. You don't have to think about it. You just pick it up and call to the person and give it back, because that's just the way you are. You see, there's a difference whether you approach things intellectually or just from the being level. Okay, so we should learn to let go of that intellectual level, particularly in Western culture. You know, we tend to be more left-brained, and people tend to work out of their logical side rather than an intuitive side most of the time. And we tend to live our life out of our heads, out of our intellects. So the first thing I would say is that you need to let that intellect go. What that intellect does for you most of the time is justify your ego and justify your fears. You do something because your fear is pushing you to do it, and then your intellect justifies why that's really a good idea, and you really didn't have any choice, and it was reasonable, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And that's what we use our intellect for most of the time, justifying what our egos and our fears push us to do. Okay, so the thing we should work on is starting to live out of the being level rather than intellectual level. That's what's, when people talk about you should just be in the moment, you should just exist and interact, you know, in the moment, what they're really saying is you need to live out of the being level. You need just to be. You have to let all the monkey chatter going on in your brain, you know, stop and just be how you are. So that's one way that we can approach this problem is try to reduce the intellectualizing and just be ourselves. So that's a good thing. You know, you don't have to run your life or manipulate your life. You just have to live it. You just have to be it, be in it, be aware. Because once you stop all the chatter with the intellect, what are you left with? You're left with the real you. Now, that just terrifies people for, you know, many people. The real me, oh, no, not that miserable little inadequate creature. You know, I don't want to be the real me. I want to be the me that I present myself as. Well, you have to let that go, too. This is where it takes courage. You see, the only antidote to fear is courage. You have to have the courage to say, well, I'll just be me. And we'll work on that. That's where we'll start. That's square one. And then the me, I'm going to become aware of my reasons, my motivations. It's not what you do that's important. It's why you do it that's important. So you need to become aware of your intent, your motivation, what's driving you, not what you do. Don't focus on the action. The action isn't really all that important. What's important is why you do it, what motivates you. And then look at that action, and is that coming from a fear place, an ego place? Is that coming from, you know, I want to manipulate the world to be the way I want it? And if it is, then try to let that go. So, again, it's just working at it. It's a perspective. It's commitment. And if you understand the reason for your existence here, then that'll help your commitment. The reason you're here on this planet is to grow up. It's just this very thing we're talking about. It's to become love. That's the whole point of your existence. So if you're in this game and that's the point, and that's how you win it, and that's how you progress, then anything less than working on that or doing it is wasting your time. So if you see it from that perspective, then that should give you some motivation. It's like, would you rather be engaged in the game and making progress, or just, you know, aimlessly wandering around on the playing field, not even knowing, you know, what the game is? So just kind of get in the game of growing up, get in the game of, you know, I would say increasing the quality of your consciousness, you know, reducing the entropy, you know, of your consciousness. And that's a wonderful game. That is the game you're in, whether you like it or not. It's not like you can join it or not join it. That's the game. So if you see that, that's the whole purpose of your existence, then that maybe will help your motivation to do something with it. You know, win the game, play the game, focus on how to do that, to commit to it, rather than just wandering around in the playing field clueless as to what's going on and why, and then, you know, nothing ever seems to be going anywhere. You know, I don't seem to be making any progress. Well, you don't make progress wandering around at the playing field clueless. The only way you make progress is to figure out what's going on here, why is it going on, and how do I get into it? You know, how do I get in this game and make something of myself? How do I become love? How do I learn to find peace and joy in life and in everything I do? How can I change this? Well, commit to it and just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you've said some really interesting things that we're going to touch on the last little segment of the show, but I believe we're going to our next break. So, I know. Tom can be reached on the internet. He wrote three books called My Big Toe, and you can find them from Google. I believe that you can find a free upload of them or download of them. And they're really something that you really need to digest. So I would highly recommend actually getting the physical book or books. But he can be found on the internet at my-big-toe.com or on YouTube. And it's easier probably to Google his name, Tom Campbell or Thomas Campbell, and you will find the wealth of knowledge that's there. So I'm always pleased to have Tom on the air with me. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Thomas Campbell and Laurie Houston on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Hi, I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist and host of Star Talk Radio. Join me every week where I have celebrity guests, experts, and comedic co-hosts, where our task is to bring the universe down to Earth.
Tube. We can talk things over a little time. Promise me you won't stay by the line. When I get to Warwick Avenue, please drop the past and be true. Don't think we're okay just because I'm here. You heard me back.
loving, but I want to be free. Baby, you've heard me. But you don't love me. I want to be free. Baby, you've hurt me.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. You are listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. This is the last Friday of the month, so every last Friday of the month we have Thomas Campbell. And Thomas has done a lot of work. I mean, he comes from a very science-based background, but he's also, because it's science-based, he also has to experience all of the things that he talks about. So he brings the wealth of knowledge that he has from a very experiential place. And I always appreciate that because it allows us to not just be aware from a woo-woo place, but to actually know that it comes through experience. So I really appreciated the last segment where you talked about being aware of our motivation and how we justify ego. Now, you brought a really interesting point up as an example, which is, you know, somebody, you know, drops a bill from their wallet, or, you know, I think of, you know, when you're at a store and the clerk gives you the wrong money. And immediately, instead of doing what you know in your being, you start justifying, well, do you know how many times I've gone to the grocery store and, you know, come home and found that I was ripped off money, or I was charged too much on this. So, you know, if they give me the wrong amount, then, you know, so you just automatically, your ego will start to justify things. And it's so, you know, being aware of the motivation around it, I found that those two little things were very important in when you're trying to figure out whether you're coming from a place of love or coming from a place of fear. And as soon as you try to justify anything, you're bringing your ego into it, because then you're trying to figure out what's right and wrong.
Yes, it ought to be just be yourself. You know, you need to tell that ego to sit down and be quiet. You need to tell that intellect just to stop thinking, you know, just be. Yeah. And if you have to think about it, if you have to decide what it is that you should do, then that's ego.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't really be thinking about it. You should just be yourself.
Yeah.
Interact.
Then
everything's good. You know, you are not you're not weaving this web of manipulation and control.
Right.
That's what we're doing otherwise, is we live in this web that we're always trying to control our environment and control other people. And I don't mean control them like, you know, be the master and, you know, they're the puppet, but we control the interaction, control their perspective, control how they see us, control, you know, all the stuff. And you need to let all that go, because what happens is you get caught in your own web of manipulation, and it prevents you from succeeding, rather than we think that that's the only way to succeed. If you don't manipulate things to come out the way you want, then you'll never succeed. Well, it's just the opposite. If you can continually trying to manipulate things to come out the way you want, that prevents your success from happening. Now, here, my word for success is in the big picture. Success as far as growing up, becoming love, letting go of fear, getting rid of ego, you know, that's the success I'm talking about. Now, you may be successful manipulating people as an executive, and you may make a lot of money doing that. It's not that you can't succeed if you're a good manipulator. It's that what you're succeeding at actually is tearing you down as far as your main purpose of being here, as far as growing up and becoming love. You're just digging yourself into a deeper and deeper hole. So that's what that intellect does for us, for the most part. It justifies. It tells us that what we've just done, the action we've just had, the emotion that we felt, the anger we have, or whatever it is, that that's okay. It's deserved. It's the way it should be. Mm-hmm. And we need to stop looking at acts and just look at motivations. What drives us? And that will show you eventually both your ego and your fear.
Because that was what I was going to ask. So when you look at motivation, you're looking for, you know, what is driving you, whether it is, well, just what you just said. So our motivation is it coming from a place of love, or is it coming from a place of fear?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's just that simple. And if you're really interested and you really honestly look, then it's really not that hard to find. You know, I mean, it's there in all our everyday stuff and all our everyday thoughts. Just look why you do things.
I think that is probably one of the most important things we could do, yet we get so caught up in justifying that we you know, we can't seem to see where we're wanting to come. Like we so get caught up in justifying what's right and wrong, like we justifying to ourselves why we're doing things, instead of it's an endless cycle that we can get caught up in. And it's amazing that we, you know, how simple, like, that's what I love about you, is you can make things so simplistic and we make things so difficult.
I'm a very simplistic person.
Yes, who's done a lot of work on your intellect to create, you know, going to school and all the schooling and all the things to allow you to get to this place. So our intellect, of course, is important. It can override parts of our intention or our motivation.
Yes, and I think if we just look at this one idea that the actions that we do, the things that we do, are not really that important as far as our growth goes, as far as our understanding and our becoming goes. The thing that's important is why we do them. So it's not a matter of justifying acts or manipulating things to come out in a certain way. You know, that's all acts. The acts are really irrelevant in the big picture. What's important is our intent. That's our motivation. That's you. You know, take that person that dropped the bill and the person behind them that saw that. Now, if the person behind them that saw that picked up the bill, started to put it in their pocket, and somebody walked up to them and said, if you don't give that back, I'm going to break your neck. So they run up and they give it back, you see. Or somebody else picked up the bill and immediately went up and gave it back. Well, both did the same thing, you see. But one was being and the other was acting. You see, there's a big difference between being and acting. And if you go through your entire life acting, you're not happy. You're unfulfilled and you don't grow up. That's the wandering around clueless on the field and, you know, not getting in the game.
Right.
So
unfortunately, we have to end for now. But these have been great thoughts.
Oh,
and I know. next month will be interesting, too. we've already even touched base on it a little bit. But, you know, again, Thomas can be found on the web at my-big-toe.com. So my big toe with hyphens in between, my-big-toe.com, or Google him on YouTube or Google, and you will find all the information on him. It's always a pleasure. You've been listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Thomas Campbell and Lori Houston on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.